So I was driving back from Little Fork this morning. My mother sent a text. Not that she's here or not, I won't use her name. She's in the back. A great text. Two little kids were serving at Mass, and one of the kids said, "I really love the priest's pink robes." And the other one said, "Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't die because of pink." Do you get it? Jesus rose? Rose? You're awake now? After the extra hour of not sleeping, like me too? I'm glad you're awake. Thank you. Otere, rejoice today. You know, if we didn't have the song for musicians, we would have read the antiphon to begin Mass. And the first words on the fourth Sunday of Lent is Lautare Jerusalem. Lautare is Lent, it's in Latin. And so in English, rejoice Jerusalem. You know, a day of that's why we wear the rose. That's why we come together in Lent, kind of halfway through, to see the light. That's kind of breaking the clouds of the darkness in the world. I rejoice reading the readings we had, and today I want to share each of the scriptures, just the compact story and this history that we heard for our salvation history. Another way to think about it, you know, here we're reading and listening to the scriptures, but it's like an image, if you will, with like if you've made something like a quilt. Or in sports, or in art, or music, that you know there's a lot of things going on at the same time. And until you put everything together, you might not see everything in one part by one. So first, our first reading was the Second Chronicles in the Old Testament, in the history section of the Bible. It's actually two volumes of the Chronicles, and we heard the last chapter of the two volumes really about the kings, kind of the apex that was Solomon and the temple. And so this is what we heard today. In those days, all the princess of Judah, the priests, and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. The temple was built by Solomon, and after many centuries, they forgot God to the point they were not believing in God, and they were built from God and now taken away from an enemy in Babylonian people in Babylon, that they were just destroyed. They were taken away from Jerusalem and Judah and became refugees to Babylon itself. If that happened in our country, for instance, imagine we were destroyed in a war. And not only were we destroyed, but all of the popular people, our political leaders, presidents, the governors, mayors, would be pilgrims and refugees to a different place on the planet. And not only that, but with the Jewish people, with the Israelites, they were going through an experience that was brutal. It wasn't just a place they lost. I mean, that would be like if St. Peter in Rome was just groveled to the bottom of the rock. It was done. They lost their faith. They lost their place to worship in the temple, to pray. Their political systems, their money, their food, their homes. If that happened to us, we would stay here and be poor, not having good houses or food, That's what was going on with the Israelites in this reading in the Second Chronicles. If we go to the responsorial psalm, Psalm 137, kind of a place that the Jewish people would still pray today and did for many centuries before, a song that we heard that seems a little odd: "Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you." In some ways, it's a strict poem about people with their tongues physically be silenced. But the prayer was to say, "If I ever forget you, Lord, silence my tongue." Because even though they were gone from their home for 70 years, from about 589, 587 BC to 517, to come home, that was the prayer: "Lord, if we forget you, silence my tongue." I think that's a prayer each of us should use today, here at church or those around the country that really don't believe in God or don't care about Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe the Lord said it, wrote it. If you forget me, silence your own tongue. Yes, we can have great discussions, we can have great questions, some doubts that we can ask about them. But if we're going beyond the line of our Savior, in some ways, we should have silenced tongues. We should focus not on ourselves or my own thoughts, teaching about what I think God is, or Jesus, or what we do as a Catholic Church, as Christians. At that point, it's a good time to just stop. Be silent. And listen. Think about God. What do we teach? What did He give us? So that was our responsorial psalm. Now in the Ephesians, we're actually after Jesus, His death, resurrection, and sending the Holy Spirit upon us. He showed the great light of what He was teaching about, that Jesus was seen by St. Paul in an image. And He said to His disciples, "God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love He had for us, even when we are dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Every one of us here have had sins. Every one of us here have transgressions. But because of that, and for that, Jesus gave us a saving plan, that He will help us save from grace to His Son. Finally, in John 3, a richness of that passage, probably the most important verse in the Bible, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life." God sent His Son, and that was the plan. During centuries and centuries, He sent messengers, prophets. But instead of that, most people in Israel, they mocked them, which we heard in the first reading. They mocked them, they beat them, they killed them. So Jesus finally sent His own Son. And who did we do? The same as the messengers. He was mocked, beaten, and killed on a cross. Jesus said, "But whoever lives the truth comes to the light. Those who do not believe go to the darkness." They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. And what Jesus was saying to His disciples was, "Do you want us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or do you want yourself or the world?" Whoever lives the truth comes to the light. so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Brothers and sisters, rejoice today, Laetare. You're here because you believe. You're here because we're preparing ourselves through the darkness of the world, through Lent to Easter. We know the story. The beautiful images you can think about of all the things that come together. Again, like a quilt or art or sports or education. That God, with His dominion and His gifts, has given us the saving plan through salvation history to His Son.